Hey, good evening, family. My name is Karen. I'm an alcoholic.
Karen.
My sobriety date is September 6, 1989. My home group is Journey to Freedom in Livingston. We meet on Wednesday nights. It's an open big book study meeting. Love to have you. Please stop by if you can. We're right next to the Ritz Diner. Good place for coffee, Jill. we've been taking a journey through emotional sobriety. I promised that I would bring some of the material for you to take home with you. It's right here if you want it at the end of the meeting, including the inventory that we did on the four absolutes. So I'm going to do a little recap on where we've been, and I just have to share with you that I've had the most magical holiday. I have. It's just been amazing. I have 8 little grandsons, and I totally enjoyed them over the past few days. I'm exhausted, but they were a lot of fun. And I wouldn't have that if it wasn't for this. And I wouldn't have that if it wasn't for you, because you are really my family. You know, I leave my family to come to my family. So I have a family. And I've been that way since I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I treasure it. It's sacred to me. 10, 11, and 12, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, have become such a part of my living life that I'm excited to share that with you. So a little bit of the recap on emotional sobriety for you. We came in here, we admitted that we're powerless over alcohol. We're also powerless over our ideas, our emotions, and our attitudes. And I have a first-step experience that backs that statement up loud and clear, right? Mm-hmm. And my life became very unmanageable. And I set aside the alcohol and I set aside the drugs, and my life was really unmanageable until the steps took a form in my life that made it so I love my life. And it wasn't me who did this. It was the surrender of step 2, where I came to believe that a power, right, greater than myself was going to restore me to the truth. You know, and with that came some of the spiritual principles started to enter my life, where I had a desire to be willing to be honest with myself. And it took a little bit of time before that actually took root and hold in my life, where this power greater than me showed me that I wasn't who I thought I was. I began to see the truth about everything around my life and in my life in a different way. And that humility that is so vital as we come in here to see the truth for what it actually was led me to the step 3 understanding, where I made this decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of this power in a different way. All my thoughts and all my actions, first to my sponsor, you know, my first 12-step person, my sponsor, my home group, and then to a God as I understood a God, so I could enter into that 4th step, where I could enter into that inventory, where I could take a really good look at the resentment and the fears and the conduct and the harms done in my life, where I could look at it from a new perspective. And I couldn't do that alone. I needed a sponsor to help guide those questions and my responses, because selfish and self-centered is the root of my troubles. You know, and we had to find a solution, our book says. And I did find that solution, first in this admission to this higher power, but in this admission to my sponsor about what was going on. And then she clearly guided me through 6 and 7, where she turned around a word and she said, I am not a defect. I have defenses. I use a defensive character to protect a vulnerability that's usually based in a lie that isn't even true. You know, I have delusional thinking. You know, I believe something based in the fact that I think I'm a piece of crap or that I'm inadequate. So then I take actions and behaviors to support that, and it's not sustainable, and my life falls apart, so I think. So as life was falling apart, I was told to fall to my knees. And therein started the 6 and 7 practice. You know, was I willing to let this power take all of this and to help transform me? Not at first. I didn't believe it to be true. It's kind of like my sister at Christmas, Thanksgiving, she gave me a Christmas amaryllis, Christmas plant, right? And she said, if you plant this now, on Thanksgiving Day, it will bloom on Christmas. I'm going, yeah, right. Well, it bloomed on Christmas Day. It's absolutely beautiful. And how often I do that. I come to you with preconceived ideas, with judgments, with an opinion, with decisions about things that I don't even know anything about, That's called a prejudice. So I learned about that in 6 and 7. And then came this, you know, make this list of all the people we had harmed. I didn't think I really had harmed many people. You know, I lived in a lot of harms done to me, so a lot of it came out sideways. We talked about what that list looked like, and it took me a long time to deal with this never in my lifetime in my planet list people. You know, it took me a while, but I was willing to at least set them down on paper. This inventory process and these steps that we take as outlined have let me take that list, you know, the steps off the wall and into my life. It's a design for living for someone like me that I need. I need guidance. I never thought I did. I'm a kind of a freewheeler, you know? Then we get to the make direct amends. Direct always means one-on-one, face-to-face, whenever possible. Most of my amends were not done via text and telephone. They were done direct. So they had to be made direct. And I went all over the country one year making these amends. You know, they took a while. And they just take time. It takes time to be able to be fully willing to make it right. So if you're stuck there, it's okay. Just continue to be fully willing and use the prayers and the process of getting emotionally okay to move forward in your life. And you'll have the most magical life, I can guarantee it. But to keep this, we move on into step 10. You know, I just wanted to share with you something in to employers. There's a paragraph here that my sponsor challenged me with as we began the study of step 10. She said in here, and she turned it around a little bit, she said, discard the feeling I'm dealing with habit and stubbornness or weak will when I'm dealing with other people. She said, can I discard that? And I'm thinking, well, sometimes maybe. Sometimes maybe. If this presents difficulty, it suggests that we read these chapters and we go back onto why am I objecting, right? So that doesn't only include in this chapter to we employers, it includes kind of a behavior that I have to take a look at. If I'm objecting, why? What's up? What's the motive under the motive, right? And the other thing it says in here that I just absolutely love, it talks that I understand that we must undergo a change of heart. To get over drinking will require a transformation of thought and attitude. We have to place recovery above everything, for without recovery we'll have lost home and business. Not only home and business, you've lost yourself. I lost myself when I came here. But I found myself here. So I want to chat a little bit about step 10. Step 10 to me talks about right here, right now. We continue to take this personal inventory, and when I'm wrong, promptly admit of it. Sometimes that's like a lot of words, but what it's really talking about is when I have a feeling and when I have the rumble, to pay attention to what that is in order to deal with it right here, right now. And I must have God to help me do that. Have to. You know, there's a 90-10 rule. You know, life is 10% of what happens and 90% about how I react to it, right? Right? So this is continued awareness of my feelings, of my attitudes towards things. You know, and if you were ever going to be challenged on it, it would be this 2 weeks that we're involved in right now. It's a daily practice of steps 4 through 9. Just daily practice. So what stops me from wanting to do that? Well, for me, it's procrastination. And the other thing is my ego. I don't need to do that today, right? So the solution is, of course, taking action, keeping my sight clear, grow or go, they say, right? A man can fail many times, but it isn't a failure until he starts blaming someone else. Right? Think about that. How many times do you blame something not working out on somebody else? Minute that thought starts crossing my mind, I know I'm on a little hot water, right? You know, to move aside here. So when we feel some kind of way, it's important to ask yourself, what's been affected or what's threatened, right? So that's what step 10 is guiding us to do. Am I being selfish here, right? Maybe I'm being a little dishonest. Where's the truth in this, right? Or am I being inconsiderate? Or am I afraid of something not happening the way I want it to be? Well, if you do look at those things, you can be on your way to experience the big book promise of freedom, because this is all about being free. All of it's being free. So as I've mentioned all along in the time that I've been with you, that every single one of my steps, as I practice them, as I understand them, always has a prayer associated. This is my 10th step prayer. God, I pray that I can continue to grow in effectiveness and understanding. So the minute something's irking me, that prayer will cross my mind. Effectiveness and understanding. Can I understand it, or do I want it to be exactly how I want it to be? You know, one of my biggest character defects, we were talking about it tonight before the meeting, is unrealistic expectations of you. They're always assigned to you, and you don't even know you have the assignment, by the way. And then I have a judgment about the way you're performing the assignment you don't even know you have. Okay? So, God, help me remove the selfishness and dishonesty and inconsiderateness and fear that's cropped up in my life right now, because that's generally what it is. Help me discuss it with somebody immediately. Pick up the phone, chat about what's really going on with you, and make amends quickly. That means if I bomb somebody, I've got to own up to it quickly. I can't live in resentment in any form of it. Any form of it could be a grudge, could be a frustration. You know, because depression for me sits right out here. You know, I always use alcohol for that depression. I would just feel better instantaneously. I needed to feel better immediately. You know, it's microwave for my life. It has to be fast, right? This is fast for me. This works very fast for me. So what principles do we experience with this 10-step working? Well, acceptance. Accepting things exactly as they are and not as I would have them. The honesty to realize that I really want them a different way. To be able to say, well, I wish it was like that, but it's actually like this. And if it is something that I want like that, what am I willing to do that? You know, where am I willing to grow to that, right? To be human is to make mistakes. I'm not a mistake, but I make mistakes. When I came to you here, I thought I was the mistake. I learned, no, I make mistakes. Step 10 helps me clear that every day so I don't live in the idea that I am a mistake. Hopefully your journey's led you to the point where you can readily admit mistakes. You know, sometimes we're so prideful we can't do that right away. But I can say to you this, if there is a rumble and you're objecting to something somebody is saying or doing, just pause for a minute, use that great pause we're taught in step 10, and breathe. And ask God to remove it. And I'm telling you what, your shoulders are going to come off your ears and you're actually going to be able to breathe through it. And then I don't have to give out assignments, right? So now I'll intuitively know the situations that used to baffle me. The promises of step 10 are beautiful promises. They actually will bring us to a point where they've answered this question to our four-step dilemma, where lack of power is our dilemma. It answers the question, the problem has been removed. Our problem is that we're not connected to God, and the solution is getting connected to God. So lack of power is our dilemma, as outlined on page 45. 40 short pages later. If you do the work and answer the questions and do the suggestions as they're outlined in our book, you're going to find that not only are you not drinking, staying away from a drink or a drug, but emotionally you're lifted and spiritually you're in touch with that power. And in a way that is going to give you the freedom to walk forward in life. Just being even. We get to be even with society, people like you and me, right? And it says that sanity has returned. That means I see things exactly as they are. I start to see the truth of things. I'm not driven so much by what you say of me as much as what I think of you. I used to be so driven in what you say of me, what you thought of me, and I would do anything to please that. Now I need to know that that comes from you, that doesn't come from me. That I can be present in the most beautiful way I can be present. And that's because God has asked me to take care of his kids, right? So I'm neither cocky or afraid. So what are the practices for step 10? Other than a quieting of your mind occurs, it does. Any thought can be released. Somebody said it earlier, move a muscle, right? She said move a muscle. Choose my thoughts wisely. I have one instantaneous second. Because God is right here, right now, to choose a thought. And if a thought is troubling you, choose another one. You can let it go by. It's a set-aside prayer works for everything. Please help me set aside everything I think I know about this person right now because I'm about ready to react. That is a good prayer. Because you cannot hear your inner guide without a quiet mind. You can't. The God in my life speaks very quietly. My ego speaks very loudly. Right? So, okay. So I'm going to move on to step 11. And step 11 is conscious contact with God. That I sought. That means I'm a seeking. I'm seeking, right? Through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand and praying only for His will for me and the power to carry that out. Well, it's really a three-part prayer. Bill Wilson said, you're asking of yourself all, as all of us must, who am I? Where am I? Somebody said it earlier, you know, you're looking for a lot of answers, but we don't have a lot of answers. We have a lot of solution. Big difference. We have a lot of solutions here. The process of enlightenment is usually so, Bill said. But in the end, our seeking always brings a finding. Your seeking will always bring a finding. These great mysteries are, after all, enshrined in complete simplicity. Here's what Bill Wilson said. Prayer and meditation is another way we reach for God. And in the 12 and 12, he states, there's a direct linkage among self-examination, that's his inventory, right? Meditation and prayer. Taken separately, these practices can bring much relief and benefit. But when logically related and interwoven, they result in an unshakable foundation for life. Don't you want that? I wanted that. When I read that in step 11, it's in the 12 and 12. When I read that, I was like, I want an unshakable foundation for life, because the proof of my life was that it was far from unshakable. It was more like quicksand. I was done with quicksand, wrecking relationships, inventing alibis, trying to come up with stories, trying to make myself look good so you'd think I was fine, and I wasn't. I wanted this unshakable foundation for life so I can come as I am. There is nothing better than this breath of air that I can come as I am. I don't need to worry anymore. So when you change the direction of a life, we change that life. So my direction in my life started to change when this exercise came in. And I have something that my sponsor did for me. And this is a spiritual prayer journal that I use all the time. There's copies up here for you. But I want to go through it because in this prayer journal, it integrates the directions in the big book as well as the 12 and 12 into a practice that you might want to try. It doesn't matter if you're one day sober or 30 years sober, like myself. I still use this. Now I know it by heart. But in this prayer journal, it asks me to specifically pay attention to my day, right? It asks me to, well, what are the five things I'm looking for to do tomorrow? I used to have a laundry list of things that I never accomplished and then would feel bad that it wasn't done. So if I do one of the five things I set out to do, I am so proud of myself, I can't stand it. And the four that I don't get done, we'll get done. But if I get one done, that's like amazing. If I get my garbage out on Sunday nights, I am so happy. Right? If I remember that it's out before the garbage men come, oh, wonderful. So it asks me to pay attention to these things. What are the things I need to do tomorrow? I need to, and very much like what Jill said, I'm always in contact with AA women. I'm talking to them daily. I make sure that my prayer and meditation in the morning and the evening is set. Before I did these disciplines, my life was a little chaotic. As I started doing this when I was 12 years sober on, my life has gotten very calm. And I never thought that a person like me would have calm and no chaos in my life the way I have it today. So these are the things we do. I write down five things I need to accomplish. And I have a meditation that we do every morning. I have a meditation. I read each day a new beginning. In the evening, we vary with what we have. Morning, evening, there's some kind of little something. I think about what I read. Our entire women's group reads the same meditation book, so it's kind of cool. If it says something that I want to share, we share it. If not, we don't, you know. But it's just something of my choice to just stop in my tracks and direct my attention to something else. We also write a note to God. It's very important to contemplate my words, right? Sometimes my prayers go like this. Dear God, today was really rough. I am not happy with my day. I date it. In my prayer journal, I'll put it on sticky notes, stick it in my journal. Or it might be, today was amazing. Like last night when I came home from our family party, it was like just totally amazing. Since thank you for an amazing day. And step four, my motives, right? If I'm planning something really important, it's really good that I know why I'm doing it. I used to do things so it would please you or I'd get something I wanted, more than likely than not. Now I just do things because I want to do them. But it's very important that I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. Like tomorrow I have some big things to do with work. Not too happy about what's going on at work. So I'm kind of afraid, actually, because the business was sold. So my motive under the motive is to listen. Excuse me. So I listed my tasks before I came here, and one was just to listen and take direction. For me, wanting to desire to take direction was a really new goal for me. But I wrote it, and I went, oh, willing to take direction. Okay. So I'm willing to take direction. Right? That's a new deal for me. I like to be in charge. I don't like to take direction. But doing this daily, every day, I learned how to do things differently than I ever did before. So on the prayer, and I have a prayer list at night. I list the people that I'm thinking about. We have a couple people that we lost last week due to this disease. Thinking about them and their family. I'm thinking about the people who are struggling in their recovery. And thinking about my family in recovery who are doing well in recovery. Let them continue. You know, whatever it is for you, don't forget to ask your God to help you. Help you remember to remember. Right? Help me to remember that there are other people other than me. Help me to remember, I ask my God, how can I be of service, you know? And in my evening work of the day that goes on, I ask myself before I go to bed, I ask myself 9 questions. And they're yes or no questions. Very quick. Was I resentful? Yes or no? Was I selfish? Yes or no? Was I dishonest? Yes or no? Was I afraid? Yes or no? Do I owe anybody an apology? Yes or no? Briefly explain. This is not a nightly inventory. This is just a question about my day. Could I have done anything better than I did, right? Was I thinking of myself most of the time? Did I ask God in and ask forgiveness for anything that I needed help with? You know, a lot of my mistakes come from needing to be in charge, this lack of control, right? And oftentimes I think that I don't forgive myself easily for being human. So I ask for that. Can I ask my spiritual advisor for corrective measures to take if I need them? I ask myself these questions every day, right? And I set it aside. And before I do, there's one prayer that I like to say to God. You know, and I'm going to share this with you. Before your head hits the pillow at night, I hope you realize that if you follow God's plan for you in staying sober, that you're a winner by the grace of God. Right. You are a winner by the grace of God. And did you do his work on your part? Yes or no? That's it. I thank God for a beautiful day, and then I go to sleep. It becomes very quick, but I'll tell you what happens. When I wake up in the morning, I have a plan for the day. I feel good about my day. I sleep really, really well. Ask anyone who knows me. I sleep phenomenally well. And I wake up with a spirit that if I was not aware of the night before of something that needed adjusting, I do when I wake up. It is a really cool thing to do, and my sponsor, Michael, really helped me out with this. So am I living in God's way or am I living in my way? Those are kind of the choices that we have today. So these are up here for you to take. So the problem, what's the problem with step 11 that we don't want to do this? Well, a lot of it has to do with distrust. And if we acknowledge that we turned our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understand God made that decision in step 2, in step 3, we'll receive this in step 11. You make the decision in 3, and you get it back in step 11. The work that's in between is going to be contingent on that decision. So what's the solution here for us? It's to trust that that's true for you as it is for me. It's to have the discipline. We need the disciplines to follow through every day. To practice the 4 pillars of prayer and meditation at night. It describes it in our book. At night, in the morning, when facing indecision, right? and pray as if everything depended on your God. Everything depended on your God. And work as if everything depended on you. You do those four pillars as they are outlined, and I'm telling you, your life will start to change. It is the most spectacular thing ever. So my step 11 prayer goes something like this. Higher power, as I understand you, I pray that you help keep my connection with you open and clear in the confusion of my day. My day can be really confusing because I happen to interfere with it. I don't know about you guys. I ask in prayer and meditation, especially for the freedom from self-will. Here's another one of me, for rationalization. I need freedom from rationalization. I can see a situation and rationalize it. You know, it's kind of like a toss-up for me. And for wishful thinking. Sometimes I fall into wishful thinking, oh, if only it would be like that. Well, it isn't. That's not the truth of my day, and I'm missing the opportunity of the truth of my day. So I ask for the guidance, for the correct thought. I ask continually for the wisdom and the guidance for the complete thought. The patience to actually, like, listen for it. And it's really amazing. Your will, higher power, not mine, be done. I like the St. Francis prayer a lot. I use that as a tool. Serenity prayer is a great one if you don't have your own. But try to write your own prayers with the steps. You'll find it extraordinarily becoming your program. This is a living action program, and it's all yours. There are guidance in here, and the guidance is phenomenal. But it must be personal. So personalize it as best as possible along with the principles. So step 11 principles, awareness and knowledge. Right here we search to become aware of following our path, our purpose in life. My purpose is to be a maximum service to God and my fellows. That's my purpose. Everything else is secondary. When I'm of maximum service to God and my fellows, my life is magnificent. Financially it works out. My kids are great. I don't fight. I'm listening with rapt attention. I'm finding that it's amazing following that one line, that goal to be of maximum service to God and my fellows. That's a goal for me. And I was taught in step 11 to realize that's part of my prayer prop. So the promise that step 11 gives us is that we realize that God's doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I thought I could make all this stuff happen. I don't know what your happenings look like, but mine were not as delightful as things are today. It says that I'm in much less danger of excitement, fear, and worry. I thought excitement was a great thing until I saw the outcome of what that excitement was really about. So I don't fall into self-pity and foolishly worrying about things that I used to. I'm more well-balanced and therefore become much more efficient with a ton of energy. Right, I don't tire easily at all. You won't hear me very often say I'm tired or I'm objecting to things because I have discovered that my life is a true gift. I've come to believe that every encounter here is a holy encounter. I have been given a suspension of a life sentence, death sentence with my life as it is. So I respond accordingly, no matter who I meet. Every encounter is a holy encounter. No experience is accidental. I find it amazing, and I find a lesson in every experience. Sometimes good, sometimes, swallowing of humble pride, you know. Everybody I meet has been destined to be on our journey. It's this broad highway, and it's so exciting to be grateful for every experience that you might find. And through these relationships that I've had with you, I've been able to be healed. Me inside. But it's only through you. I found that really crazy. Mm-hmm. But my mind, my attitude, my actions have all healed in a way that I thought were only dream-making stuff. So for me today, that's what it's like. So step 12 is all about carrying this message, right? Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, I try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all my affairs. There's three things that I have learned here in step 12, and I love to talk about them in step 12. I have had the opportunity, the absolute gift as a result of the 12 steps, to be awake to my life. I've awakened to my life. It used to be so narrow-minded in a box. I am now awakened to my life. The second gift that came as a result of this was a plan. There's a plan for me. Be of maximum service. I never had a plan. I kind of like did this or did that or tried to make this happen or that happen. Today there's a plan in my life. Don't really know what the outcome's going to be, but it's sure a heck of a lot better than what it was. You know, I have an address. I live in a home. It's got heat. I can pay bills. There's all kinds of magical things that happen with that. So what would stop me from wanting to have this gift to share with others? What would stop me from having this? It is totally indifference. You know, in our 12 and 12, in the steps, in the essays on the steps, it talks about indifference as being the leading attitude of relapse. When I'm indifferent about my life, when I'm indifferent about meeting up with you, when I'm indifferent about going to a meeting or showing up for a commitment, I begin to slip slide into a lack of gratitude. And the slip slide in a lack of gratitude brings up a negative self-will behavior in me that is not very attractive. So I have to really work at gratitude and trust and faith and tolerance and all of those spiritual principles that wrap around carrying this message. Kindness and consideration. But I find those are a lot better than what I used to think, right? So my 12-step prayer, dear God, my spiritual awakening continues to unfold. It does. I am different than I was a year ago. I continue to have experiences that surprise me, right? Sometimes good, sometimes bad. I ask God continuously to help me stay awake to them. Like some of the things that go on, the experiences I have, not too happy about. But at the end of the day, walking through that fire is the best thing that ever happened. I don't see that at first because my first instinct is all about me. Then my second instinct is, oh, yeah, God. oh, yes. It's God, you, me. It's not me, me, me. But that takes discipline and that takes a desire to have that attitude come into my life. So what principle keeps this going? It is service and it is gratitude. It is service in any way, whether it's working in archives, like Jeff over there brought us an opportunity to go listen to the old timers on the website, or at your home group or at another group, or picking up a service commitment or just making the coffee or being a greeter. The greeters are so important to the newcomer. Anything, just be of service and be in gratitude about that. I am grateful, so grateful to be sober today. I can't even tell you. Family holidays and all the drinking and stuff going around, I don't want that. My personality change, I have had the transformation of heart and soul that allowed me to not have to pick up a drink today, to have the obsession of mind, having all of that rat race going on, do not have it. Remarkable things happen, we're promised, right? When we look back, we realize it says it in our book, the things that came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than absolutely anything I could have thought up. And by the way, I have a good imagination. So it tells us to follow the dictates of your higher power and you'll presently, page 100, presently live in a new and wonderful world despite your circumstances. What a promise. What a promise we have in our book. It says, see to it that your relationship with him is right. If it's not right, we have tools to help you find that. You have sponsors, you have fellowship. There's all kinds of ways that we can help guide you. But this is an inside journey. It's an inside out. We can guide you. I can't beg you. Willingness is indispensable. I can't give it to you. I can just show you. I had the opportunity to stand on the shoulders of spiritual giants in my recovery, who taught me these very things. And these are the things that I want to leave with you. There's two voices in your head. One is always wrong. Just know that up front, right? Be vigilant about your choices. Like, pay attention to where your mind's going. Like, pay attention to it. Be ready to ask yourself, would you rather be peaceful or right? And don't say both. Can't have both. Peaceful or right? Would you rather be peaceful or right? Become willing that it takes what it takes to get what you got. Be willing to just chase it. You know, when you become a seeker, lots of fun things happen. First of all, you end up traveling a whole lot. You end up meeting all kinds of people. You end up doing all kinds of fun things. The day that the process of change happens is up to you. You know, when you say, every day is a holy encounter, how can I see this differently? You start to see it from a different perspective. And oftentimes they say, oh, you get pushed and catapulted into the fourth dimension. Well, I am one who wants the tenth. So I am seeking the tenth dimension, whatever that looks like, right? And when you begin, it's totally up to you. If you want to begin today, you would begin today. If you want, you want a life of a lack of chaos, of harmony, of love, of peace, of justice, of consideration, of kindness, tolerance, you can have it. All you're separated from is you. You have it all inside you. You've only been blocked. And we've been blocked by self-will. We've been blocked by selfish and self-centeredness. And there's a choice we make. God's will, my will. God's will, my will. God's will, my will. And when we do that, we find that these remarkable things happen. We receive these spiritual gifts that are embedded in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in a way that we didn't even know were there. That's what's so crazy. I didn't even know this was all available to all of us at any time, any moment. You just need to sit back and ask God for help. Now, I know the God thing is pretty tough on other on people. They say, oh, please. And I'm thinking, well, let me talk about your higher self. Let me talk about the spirit within. Because the power of God goes deep in all of us. We're meant to be there for others. We are meant to be in fellowship and community with others. We are not meant to be isolating people alone and afraid. That's not the deal for us. We've been given an opportunity to change this, to have the spiritual experience from the inside out that's going to bring you to a level of living that you didn't even know you had. It is so attractive to be around people who are living this life, even though they don't know it. Like around my family, I can give you an example. I come from a very alcoholic family. There are, 13 kids. We're not all together. There's a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing. You know, most of the people in the Midwest, they're still all out there. We've had many, many losses, some due to overdoses, some due to natural causes, some due to heart attack. We don't know where they come from. All kinds of stuff has been going on. The past year has been really hard that way. But when you let a God take over those relationships, you stop interfering and you just are who you are, suddenly your relationship with those threads of people all changes. My family had the most amazing holiday, and I know a lot of it has to do with just sitting back and not controlling and just accepting them exactly who they are. That spiritual principle is infectious because there's no chaos in that, because people are who they are. So I want to show you one little guide that I think will help you with emotional sobriety. Oh, we have a few minutes. There's this this worksheet up here. It's called Working It Through the Steps. So this is an emotional worksheet. So here's how it goes. All right, you ready for me? I knew I threw a lot at you. This has everything to do with working your emotions, your thoughts, and your feelings. You know how we take an inventory and you write down all of your resentments? Well, we're going to do it a little bit backwards. We're going to say, I am powerless over my resentment and frustration. I'm going to use an example for you. I am powerless over my resentment and frustration about this person who was complaining all morning, and my life's unmanageable because I'm obsessing over this situation. I'm obsessing over somebody I have no business obsessing over, but I'm involved, right? And my life becomes unmanageable because my emotions take over. Now remember, every emotional reaction is coming from a thought, right? It's coming from a thought. So now I'm reacting to this thought, and I'm also now I'm judging this, right? So if I take this through the steps, I can write down, I admit I'm powerless over my feelings of resentment and frustration over that situation. Step two, I came to believe that a power is going to restore me to the truth about this. My truth about this resentment and frustration, oh, and annoyance. By the way, as I'm writing, I'm coming up with more reasons why I'm annoyed about the situation of this girl who's complaining. seeing situations exactly as they are and acting appropriately rather than reacting only is the name of the game for us as we grow in the likeness of our Creator, right? So this step says make a decision. Step three says, I'm going to offer this to my power, right? I'm going to offer myself and my feelings of frustration and annoyance and I'm going to say some more words. Okay. To you, to build with me and do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self and my feelings of frustration and annoyance and anger. And by the way, they're paying attention to her and not me. It's bothering my day. It's interfering with my day. So I start thinking about why I'm emotionally getting upset over a situation that's none of my business, but it's bothering me. So then I ask God to take away my difficulty of doing that. Take away my frustration. Then I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of these same kind of feelings, right? And I have to write down, why am I really annoyed? Well, I used to be annoyed because I didn't like it when people complain. They always complain. I can't stand complainers. She knows better than to annoy me, right? And then I get to the root of this. This was one of my resentments, by the way. I got to the root of it, and this person was reminding me of my sister. I was afraid that if I said anything, that anyone would be mad at me, so I didn't say anything. So you end up stuffing your feelings, right? So the emotional feelings come out anyway. So what does this affect? Well, this affects my self-esteem. It affects my fear. It affects my personal relationships, my ability to work, my relationships with the coworkers. Now I'm embarrassed. It affected my serenity of my morning. So what's my part in it? When I could see my part in my emotional unmanageability, that's going to be the key to my changing. It's going to be the key to my recovering, right? How did I set myself up for this? Of the question I asked. Was my self-image causing my problem? The higher my expectations, the lower my serenity. Well, what are my expectations? Unreasonable expectations. I expected her to be positive, to be quiet. I expected her to know what I'm thinking, even though I haven't told her. I've given her assignment, right? I let my feelings about my sister confuse with her, right? By the way, I expect myself to be strong enough not to have these kind of feelings. Whoa, right? Another expectation, right? So what's my payoff in staying in some kind of an emotional attitude like this? There's always a payoff. What's my payoff? I don't have to say anything about the way I feel. I can feel superior. I can feel powerful. I don't have to change. In other words, I can find any excuse to stay in an addictive behavior. So that's why it's so important to pay attention to the emotional unmanageability of your spirit every time you can. This little worksheet will help you do that. Because you can take it all through. You can take it in through step five, admitting it. I have traits that are common that don't seem to want to go away. Maybe I'm not willing to have God remove all these defects of character. I humbly ask them to remove my shortcomings of my judgment, of my critical behavior. Prayer is crucial. Again, I can't stress that enough. When I understand what's going on for me, I take those shortcomings and put them in the seven-step prayer. All of them, I put them back into the seven-step prayer. And in that seven-step prayer, I ask God that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you remove from me every single defect of character which stands in my usefulness to you and my fellows, such as my judgment, my opinions, my frustration over not having any attention given to me, right? My feeling abandoned by my office, whatever it might be. I ask for that in the seven-step prayer. Grant me the strength to do the opposite. Grant me the strength to have compassion. Grant me the strength that I have the belief that I am enough, that I do enough, that I can be enough here, right now. Grant me the strength that I have the ability to know how to express myself appropriately, to have compassion for others, that I'll be okay no matter what, I can lean back on this God that I've asked to be my partner in life, that I can lean back and say, okay, give me the wisdom to know what to do next as I go out from here to do your bidding. So you can make that seven-step prayer into anything you want on a daily basis as you bump up into being Real Life 101, right? Then you're going to take that into each specific issue. You're going to list that there are any harms done. Mainly when I went up to her just to apologize for, you know, for being distant, I found out that her mom had passed away that morning. Mm-hmm. Now, did I ever feel like a jerk? Mm-hmm. Right? So there are things going on with other people that might interfere with the serenity of your day. Just start realizing that God wants us to be present for anybody else who's present for us. Mm-hmm. You know, so we continue to take these inventories, and we continue to grow. We continue to grow, and we realize that we recover physically, we recover emotionally, we recover spiritually as we grow with God in this beautiful program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you so much for letting me share.